Yes, greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I want to welcome you today to the Daily Inspiration, and I thank the Lord for opportunity that He gives us every day to be inspired by Him through His Word. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we have the opportunity each day to get inspired by God's Word, and it's a precious thing that we have in our hands, and we have the ability to turn the pages of God's Word and to read and to be blessed by what He's given us, that He's handed down through the ages, that we can have it in our own possession. There's so many people in this world today that so long for a Bible and don't have one. So many people have never heard the name of Jesus Christ or have any idea who God is. They don't have the Bible. And we do, and I want to be very careful in my life, and I encourage you the same, that we don't take for granted that we have the Word of Almighty God available to us in our language. And it, of course, is a translation, but there is information there. It's clear, it comes through, that He has made provision for you and I to be eternally with Him through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so with that, I'm very thankful that I have an opportunity to just share with you a little bit today from God's Word. And I also want to read a little excerpt that I've been going through, a little booklet, and I've been blessed with it. And I want to pass that along to you because I believe there's a blessing in it. It's encouragement for us. And it's exhortation for us and teaching in the right way, I believe, leads us to a right thinking about who God is, who we are, and our great need of a Savior. I'd like to read to you from 2 Timothy, and I'll be in chapter 3, and I'll just kind of get started with this, and we can go right into some other reading here. 2 Timothy 3 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. They'll be disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And here, we're being encouraged that to know that, you know, in the last days, there is going to be a tremendous outpour of ungodly people that will profess to be godly people. And he gives a very long list here of some of the fruits that you will find in these type of people. And hopefully this doesn't describe any of us and the things that would come out of us as a fruit. Jesus said you'll be able to know them by their fruits. And here these fruits are listed, and you can go back and read through them and see. It's a long list. I just read it to you. And it is what tells on people whether these are fruits of righteousness or fruits of the flesh. These are fruits of the flesh. It's people that have a form of godliness. And we're talking about people that are in the church, not the world, not those that don't have any idea who God is and don't care. I'm talking about people in the church. People that profess to be Christian, people that say they're following God, and these things follow them. And it's not godliness. It's not things that are of good report. I'd like to use that as an introduction here to a reading here, because today I think we're faced with, and I think it's been common for generations, we're being faced with a great onslaught of just a form of religion. And as it says here, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he says, from such turn away. They won't be profitable to you or I if they have a form of religion, a form of godliness, but they deny the power. I'll read to you here. It says, millions of men and women refuse to face up to the fact that religion in and of itself is not enough for the sinner's need. It is amazing how many things religious people want to do to you. They can start with infant baptism and end up with the last rites when you are 108 years old. And of all that time, they will manipulate you. And I want you to think about this as I'm reading this and see if you can relate to any of this. I think some of this will very much relate to all of us. They'll manipulate you, maul you, and sweet massage your soul. When it's all done, you are just what you were. You are just a decorated and massaged sinner, a sinner who did not eat meat, or, on the other hand, a sinner who did eat fish. When religion has done all it can, you are still a sinner who either went to church or did not go to church. Religion can put us on the roll and educate us and train us and instruct us. But after all that, there is still something within our beings that cries, eternity is in my heart, and I have not found anything to satisfy it. Only our Lord Jesus Christ is enough to satisfy the eternal longing in our souls. And I just was encouraged with this because I see that this is a snare that is very common. It's very easy for any of us to get into. It doesn't matter what church you belong to, what organization. It can become a form. It can become a list, a checklist. It can look pretty impressive even. But there's a longing inside of our hearts to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And nothing will satisfy it. And that is a major blessing for us, because God is not going to allow other things to take His place, His rightful place in our hearts, in our lives. And so it's His mercy that we are not satisfied with anything else but Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. God won't allow us to be satisfied with other things that we try to stuff in there. And so there's a cry, I believe, in our hearts for God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. And if we are not careful, and I say we, anybody, if we're not careful, we'll fall into a form religion, a religion that is only a list of things, and it has no relationship to God through Christ Jesus, Lord. But I want to encourage you, because that is common, but that is not what God wants for us, and He has given us some promises in His Word. If we will turn our hearts to Him, we'll let Him do a work in us, He will fix that problem that man struggles with. And I want to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 24, and I believe we've read this scripture before, but it's such a blessing. Because this is what God said He will do for you and for me, for His people, those that will cry out to Him and acknowledge Him as who He is, Almighty God. So I'd like to read to you from Jeremiah 24 and verse 7. It says, this is God speaking, He says, I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Now, I know you know the history of Israel and the Jewish people, and they have a long history of turning away from their God. And if it hadn't been for Jesus Christ, who broke down that middle wall and made it able for you and I to come into fellowship with God, we would have no hope. And God is talking about His people here that have rebelled, and they have been stiff-necked people, and He has been long-suffering and very patient with them, and they keep rebelling. But he said, I'm going to give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. You see, God is not looking for a half-heart Christian, but a whole heart. He doesn't want people that are just half-interested. Just like you wouldn't be interested in somebody if they were had a half-interest in being having any kind of relationship with you. It puts a bad taste in our mouth. We don't like that. God is no different. He wants us to have a whole heart to serve him. And I just want to encourage you today, let God search your heart. Ask God, am I giving you leftovers, Lord? Am I giving you just a part here? Or am I wholeheartedly seeking after you, crying out and pouring out my heart to you? And I think it's a good question for us to ask God to search our hearts, to probe there and to find, and to see if there's any wicked way in us, and to expose it and reveal it to us so that we can confess it, he can forgive us, and he can help us to go on and be strengthened and be giving him his rightful place. And I believe if our heart attitude is right, if we will let him do that work in our hearts, he is going to do amazing things and put in us a heart to know him, that he is the Lord. If there's nothing else in this life that we ever learned, that would be the most critical thing in the world for us to learn, is that he is the Lord. We'd have a heart to know him. It's the most critical thing that a human being can ever learn, because it means a difference in eternity, whether we spend eternity with him or separated from him. He has made a way possible for us through Jesus Christ, and that is something to rejoice about and to be exceedingly glad that he is willing to do that, to reveal himself to us. So I encourage you today, ask God to search your heart. As I ask God to search my heart, I know he's loving enough to expose those things and to show me things that aren't right. And so I know he'll do that for all those that call upon him with a pure heart. So I encourage you today, be among those that lets God do that work in within, and he brings satisfaction to the soul. And we're not just a people that have a form of godliness but deny the power, but we allow him to do that work in us and transform us into a new creation. God bless you today as you think on these things.